Hey, everybody, welcome back to another episode of Verbal Shenanigans. I am so happy to bring this one to you because we had so much fun doing it. But I am also really happy to talk about some of our sponsors. We have a new sponsor on the podcast. Waking up with back pain, 50% of Americans are. Sleepovation's new mattresses, 700 tiny mattresses that individually cradle natural curves of your spine. This provides perfect comfort and spine support for your back pain relief and the best damn sleep of your life, man. Pre-order yours now at sleepovation.com. If you use the show code VERBAL, you get $100 off your order. Now, I am so happy to be working with these guys. Sleepovation makes a very unique product, guys. 700 tiny mattresses holding your back like Tiki Barber held a football, just cradling your back. Check out Sleepovation. Give them some love on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter. Sleepovation. Welcome to the show, guys. Demented Brewing. Demented Brewing is located in Middlesex, New Jersey, one of the coolest tap rooms around. You got to go check it out. Every week they have 16 different rotating handles, lots of beer on tap. This Sunday they just released Henry VIII, their sweet potato porter. And then this Sunday coming up, they're going to be releasing Out of Your Gourd, their Acorn Squash Abbey Ale. That is some fall beer right there. But go check out Demented Brewing. We are also sponsored by Manskirt Brewing. Okay, Manskirt Brewing, located in Hackettstown, New Jersey. They have very seasonally inspired ales. They've got their second anniversary party tomorrow from 12 to 10. Everyone's invited. Local food, local music, all the beer. And they're also putting Better Than Pants in cans next week, too. So check out Manskirt Brewing. Now, just this... this Saturday, I'm going up to Adirondack Brewery, who is one of our favorite sponsors. They just announced their 2017 Pumpkin Chunkin'. We just had a Pumpkin Chunkin' on like 2 weeks ago. What is Pumpkin Chunkin'? Pumpkin Chunkin' takes place at the Adirondack Pub and Brewery each year on the first Saturday after Halloween. The event has something for the entire family. Apple slingshots, pumpkin catapults, BYOP, pumpkin, giant slides, bounce houses, bonfires, food trucks, performances from Bad Idea Entertainment, music, and much more. Pumpkin Chunkin' is free entry. For more information, head over to the Adirondack Brewery's Facebook page and go check it out. We went last year, and we had an absolute blast. Another sponsor on this podcast is Susan Robb. Susan Robb is a woman out of Toronto, Canada, who lives out her mission to inspire others. Susan is a client partner for the Center for Leadership Studies, original home of situational leadership. CLS is deployed in over 70% of top Fortune 500 companies. Susan also has a business as a speaker agent. She gets a lot of the guests that you've heard on the show just last week, Sinjay Nath, so go check out that episode. But she's got us Muffy Bennett and Paul Templer and just a whole bunch of guests all down the line. But check out Susan Robb, R-O-B-B, on LinkedIn. Finally, Trivia Revolution, fueled by craft beer. Every week I host trivia at Tap House 15, but you can also come on out to various different places. Almost every night of the week, Trivia Revolution has some kind of trivia going on all around New Jersey and craft beer bars and breweries now even. Trivia Revolution, even if you're in last place, you can win prizes. So check it out, Trivia Revolution, fueled by craft beer. All right. We got a really fun episode of the podcast this week. Joining us is Josh Holcomb of a band called Lucky Chops. You may have seen them on Facebook or viral videos all over the place. They're just a horn band that plays in subways, and they've become pretty big over the last few years. So that was a great interview. And we also have David Murray, who represents Tecmo Madison, which is the largest Tecmo Super Bowl tournament in the country, over 300 people. It was just a really fun episode. We really enjoyed it. So welcome to Sleepovation and enjoy the podcast.
Hey, this is Josh Holcomb from the band Lucky Chops. You've been listening to Verbal Shenanigans.
Hey, Dave Murray from Tecmo Madison and the Tecmo Super Bowl World Championships. You're listening to Verbal Shenanigans.
But our shenanigans are cheaper and fun. I mean, these shenanigans are cool and tragic. Which makes them not shenanigans at all, really.
Evil shenanigans.
I swear to God, I'll pistol whip the next guy that says shenanigans.
Ladies
ladies and gentlemen, it's time for Verbal Shenanigans. I'm the co-host, Michael Berlew, and here's your host, Scott Brennan.
Oh, God. Ugh. I don't know if I'm supposed to feel pumped up about that.
Oh. Well, we can go home. I mean, you are home, but
we could just redo it like over and over again like we did the other week. But yes, everybody, yes, we are back. Pumped up, ready to go. I'm feeling good. I just had a rotisserie chicken, which I don't know. The rotisserie chicken is just it's so good and so cheap. I don't get it. Like how I could spend all day cooking chicken and it's not going to taste like the rotisserie chicken. No. It's $8.
No, it's hot. Something with the spinning and the greases.
But I don't get it. Like I could go buy two like big chicken breasts and it's like $11. Like, you know, like good chicken breasts to pack. But yet the rotisserie chicken is a whole chicken and it's like $8.
It's modern mysteries of the world.
All the greatest scientists couldn't figure this out. Like, is it that just low-grade chicken, like that it's just they're able to sell it that cheap? Or, I don't know, is a whole chicken cheaper than slicing up a chicken?
I don't know. Maybe they get, like, turkey buzzards. You know, just shoot them.
It's just pigeon. I don't even care. If it was pigeon, I'd be fine with it.
Yeah, as long as there's a bird, I'll live with it.
I mean, when we like, in a rush, like, usually Mondays, I'm always in a rush because I get home and then there's no time to cook, and then we podcast. Sometimes I just pick that up, and it's like, it's quick. You just throw that with a salad or something. Boom, dinner's ready. It's like, I don't know. I feel bad for like third world countries that don't have rotisserie chickens. I don't care much about your non-power or food, but no rotisserie chicken.
You figured we can call up ShopRite and be like, listen, there's this place called Rwanda that could use like 20 of your rotisserie chickens. Can you help them out? I mean,
but how is the price so cheap? That's just what's mind-boggling. But anyway,
I mean, I guess they get it from the farm cheap enough, and they just go from there.
I don't know. It just must be super mass-produced. But we don't have to think about that. We don't have to do that. It's just delicious.
I'll just tweet ShopRite.
I support. Hey, ShopRite.
God, I got a bag boyfriend ShopRite for next week. Had to cancel Sean Kemp, but it'll be worth it.
You know Sean's going to cancel on us anyway. But, so welcome back to the show, everybody. So, Berlo, I want to show you something.
Okay.
So, I am holding...
let's see, it's
white. How would you describe it? It's a white cloth.
It's lengthy. It has spirals in the middle, like a spring.
Right.
Has some, I don't know, was like a spongy.
Here, take it. Take it. Right. Play with it.
All right. It's got a spongy top. It's got a spring at the bottom.
Right.
I mean,
what do you think it is? Anyway, what do you think the item I gave you?
I mean, I think I technically know the answer.
But okay.
Well, do you want me to just say it?
Well, maybe. Yeah, but what do you think it could be outside of that? Maybe. What does it remind you? I've gotten like tens of minutes playing with that thing, shooting it up in the air, by the way.
Yeah, I could see like a little game and all, maybe even like a ghost decoration. If you put a little
face on it for Halloween. All right.
Maybe you can set it up where the spring is down, and then when you see kids come by, you hit a button and just boop.
Yeah.
It's like, oh.
But, buddy, what you are holding there actually has to do with the podcast. That is part of a new bed that is coming out. Okay. Wow. So is that what you thought it was?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. So the new mattresses that this company is putting out, the mattress has 700 of these individually to form a mattress.
Huh.
So they're individual little mattresses.
Interesting.
Now, it's supposed to be able to cushion every inch of your body, like to support back pain and stuff like that. Now, what does this have to do with Verbal Shenanigans?
You bought me a bed?
Yes.
My birthday is coming up. I got you again.
But no, we got a new sponsor on the show.
Oh, awesome. Tell me about it, Scotty.
You got to work on your, when you know something, not revealing that you absolutely know it. But so we have a new sponsor on the show, Sleep Ovation. Sleep Ovation is a company, is a mattress company that is all about like making chiropractor endorsed bedding and stuff like that. Now, so we're very happy to welcome them to the show. If you listened to the beginning of the episode, you heard the ad. But yes, excited to have a new show.
A new show,
yeah. Yes, would love to. No. But excited to have them on the show. It all kind of came together kind of strangely. When I studied abroad in college, I was friends with this kid for like 3 weeks or whatever in college. And then we kind of sort of kept touching a little bit after we got back.
Okay.
And I haven't seen him in 12 years or whatever it is. So he randomly messages me recently about helping him with they're doing like some like kind of videos for their new product coming out that they need kind of like a man on the street kind of guy, like okay. interviewing people. And he asked me if I'd be interested. He's like, I listened to the show, and I saw you'd been doing the comedy shows and whatnot, so we thought maybe you'd be interested. I said, sure, why not? What do I have to lose?
Sounds interesting.
So I'm going to go hopefully do that in a couple weeks. But then I randomly asked him, like, hey, you know, like, product seems cool. Would you be interested in being part of the podcast? And he's like, absolutely. And his company's down. So as of now, we have another sponsor on the show.
Awesome.
So Sleep Ovation, welcome to the family. So we breweries, beds, and trivia companies.
Yeah, and Susan Robb.
And Susan. So
she's our own category.
So hopefully just big things to come with Sleep Ovation.
Mm.
So yeah. Pretty cool. So we'll see what happens if there's videos for me to post and whatnot.
You want me to come on the stream and be like, sir, have you heard about Bez? No, I haven't.
Well, that's what's funny because some of them can be like scripted. So I'm like, oh, I can think of some people who can participate.
Mm.
But then again, you got to work. Your surprised acting is it's lacking. It's lacking. If I'm going to be honest.
All right.
But yeah, so this thing is also really fun to shoot. Watch this.
Yeah.
Watch this.
Go for it.
It goes pretty far. Last night I was throwing it at Alex, pretending I was like shooting things out of my hand. things get weird here sometimes.
Just use that WAV file right there. Shooting things at Alex, you know.
And yesterday I had the comedy show at Table 42.
Mm-hmm.
And it went well and all. And I got handed out a bunch of Verbal Shenanigans shirts. So hopefully to some of the people that have come to all of them, I just gave them some shirts. But I was thinking... you know, I was talking a couple weeks ago about like trying to avoid being white trash at all costs.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm walking past the bar, and this guy is definitely like white trash. You could just tell. I hear him turn and say to someone, like, "Ah, you know, back in the day, my mom used to always wash her hair with Miller High Life. You guys remember that?" And like everyone around them was like, nobody knew what to say. And I just happened to pass at the right time.
So not only. You could have just said, you know, my mom washed her hair with beer. No, it was specifically
Miller High Life, the champagne of beers.
Yeah.
If you will. So it was quite a statement. It made me do like a triple take, but I'm glad I heard it.
I don't get, like, if you get like beer on you and you leave it there for a bit, I mean, that stuff stinks.
Let's have you wash your hair with all three of our sponsors' beer. And then you report back.
I will totally do it. Now, I wanted to be...
All right, well, I'm going to the Adirondack Brewery, so I'll bring some back. There's one.
I just want to preface, a non-work day.
Right.
That's going to be hard to explain. No, I'm not drunk. I'm washing my hair with beer for a podcast. There's a simple explanation.
Okay. Pink slip. all right, yeah, so we'll do the Michael Berlow beer
hair.
So the other day... I was listening to a podcast. I was listening to Radiolab.
Okay.
And it was all about things that happen in the brain when there's like a moral dilemma. Like, would you save this person for this? You know, like all sorts of things. So
it
had me thinking, like, I would like to ask you some, put you in some situations and see what you would do. All right.
Berlew, you keep saving Hitler. I know this.
All right. Here we go. So. Scenario number one, bro.
All right.
You're at your best friend's wedding just an hour before the ceremony is about to start. Okay. Mm-hmm. Earlier that day, you came across definitive proof that your best friend's spouse to be having an affair with the best man / maid of honor, and you catch them sneaking out of a room together looking disheveled. If you tell your friend about the affair, their day will be ruined, but you don't want them to marry a cheater. What do you do? Do you tell your best friend? Sure, the day will be ruined, but better a day ruined than an entire life? Or do you say nothing?
Tell him.
I agree 100%.
Not even a blink of an eye. I mean, my brother found out that his bride-to-be was cheating on him 2 weeks before the wedding. And the last thing you want to do is get into a lawyer battle when you basically find out that she's no good.
Well, exactly. Think about all the time and money and aggravation I could have saved, mm-hmm. you know? So, yeah, 85% people agree with you on that one. Yeah. 85%. All right? All right. Scenario two. You're an eyewitness to a crime. All right. A man has robbed a bank, but instead of keeping the money for himself, he donates it to a poor orphanage that can now afford to feed, clothe, and care for its children. You know who committed the crime. If you go to the authorities with the information, there's a good chance the money will be returned to the bank, leaving a lot of kids in need. What do you do? Do you turn the robber into the authorities, right is right, or do you say nothing since the money went to a good cause?
Say nothing.
Say nothing.
Not even a blink of an eye. Because right. the banks haven't screwed America enough.
All right. So 78% of people have agreed with you.
Okay.
All right. All right. Company policy, bro. You have a job as a network administrator for a company that also employs your best friend's husband.
Okay. All right.
One day, your best friend's husband sends you a message asking you to release an email from quarantine. This requires you to open the email, at which point you discover that it's correspondence between this guy and his secret lover. After releasing the email, you find yourself in a pickle. Your instinct is to tell your best friend about his husband's infidelities, but divulging the contents of company emails is against company policy, and you could lose your job. Once it becomes plain that your best friend found out about his cheating husband through a company email, all trails will inevitably lead to you as the leak. Do you tell him about the indiscretion?
Tell him. Not even blinking an eye. Number one, I came from a company with some really BS policy. Mm-hmm. So it's one of those, you know, if you want to write me up on this, that's fine. But the rest of the company's going to find out. And you're going to have a little bit of a demeanor problem. Number two, if you're doing personal emails, it generally doesn't affect you as to said policies.
All right. 59% of people agree with you. That one had a little bit closer.
I can, yeah. I understand it from the you could lose your job point, the 41%.
All right. You're involved in a two-car crash on your way to work one morning mm-hmm. in which you accidentally hit and kill a pedestrian. As you get out of the car, you are intercepted by a tearful woman who seems to think that she hit and killed the pedestrian. You're not sure why she thinks she hit the person, but she is convinced. There's only you, the woman, and the person you hit on the road. There are no witnesses. You know that whoever is deemed responsible will probably be sent to jail. What do you do? So now, like, your life can drastically be changed, but you have an out.
Knowing me, I'd probably just take it.
You confess.
Yeah,
I'd have that. I mean,
I'd be torn it, but at the end of the day, somebody else is going to spend the rest of their life in jail because of me.
Yeah, exactly.
That's the way I'm going to look at it.
76% of people agreed with you. All right.
I'm surprised that amount. I, knowing people today, I figure a lot of people, it's like, I got an out.
All right. You ready for this one?
Hit it.
You and your son are prisoners at a concentration camp.
Little Mikey Jr.?
Yeah. Your son tried to escape, but was recaptured and sentenced to hang at the gallows.
Mm-hmm.
To send a message to all who may try to escape, the guard orders you to pull the chair out from under your son. If you refuse, the guard will kill your son and another innocent person in the camp. What do you do? Do you tearfully pull the chair out from under your son or refuse to pull the chair out from under your son, ensuring both his death and another death?
I probably wouldn't do it and try to figure out some way of getting out of it.
That's a tough one.
Yeah, I mean, it's your son, so I mean, even if it's a billion to one shot, I'll keep my billion to one shot open, if you will.
Okay. All right. So you would...
I would not do it.
Not pull the chair. Let's see what happens here. So only 40% said they would refuse to take the chair out. So 60% said they would tearfully pull the chair out. So, meaning that another part, so they don't want to, I guess they don't want to have another dead person on their hands.
I understand the thought process, but at the end of the day, if it's my boy, it's like, I'll try to figure out something and pray I figure out something where maybe I'm the only victim.
Mm-hmm. All right. Let's do one more. And then, all right. You're a doctor at a top hospital. Oh, God. Dr. Brew.
Yeah. All right. We're going to do some surgeries today. I'm going to make you look like Daisy Duke.
You're a doctor at a top hospital. You have 6 gravely ill patients, 5 of whom are in urgent need of organ transplants.
Uh-huh.
You can't help them, though, because there are no available organs. that can be used to save their lives. The sixth patient, however, will die without a particular medicine. If she dies, you will be able to save the other five patients by using the organs of patient six, who is an organ donor. What do you do?
If I know what the medicine is, I give it to him. I can't play God.
All right. Okay. So you're going to keep...
If I know what the medicine is for the sixth person, I'm going to give the sixth person the medicine.
Right. So even though you could save five instead of save one.
It's the infinite struggle of save... If you save this person, this could lead to this and that. It wouldn't be fair to the family.
It's not your call to make.
Yeah.
All right.
God has a plan. I just follow the roadmap, if you will.
All right. 66% of people agree with you. I thought there were some good ones in there.
Yeah.
I might bring some back. There's a couple I found on a different site that are classic ones that are a little bit more darker. So I might bring that back for Halloween.
Ooh.
Give you a couple darker ones.
All right.
But moral dilemmas, bro. Moral dilemmas.
Luckily, you have a mind like mine to solve them.
That's what most people they reach out to you for.
Yeah. Moral dilemmas. They say go find the burrows.
Yeah, even though nobody calls you that.
Yeah, he saves us, and he tells us about pumpkin spice flavoring.
Oh, yes. Mm. All right. So you got anything before our guest?
I had a fun weekend. I had a little mini vacation, if you will, with the lovely Miss Isabel.
I got one coming up next week. I'm going up to the Adirondack Brewery.
Ooh, very nice.
Yes.
Glad to see you. Helping out a sponsor and going up there. I understand Oktoberfest is really cool up there.
Yeah. Just going up to get away for 2 days and you know how it is. Just recharge the batteries a little bit. So, is this another Berlew's Weekend of Discovery?
Well, we did quite a bit. So, yes, I will call it a Weekend of Discovery.
Berlew's Weekend of Discovery.
Yeah, so Saturday morning, we drove down to Cape May, New Jersey.
Cape May, New Jersey.
We basically had two plans, but we made it a full day and a half down there.
Two plans come to one.
It started off with what we regularly do down in Cape May. We
went kiss each other and take pictures.
We did that, but yes. I did the shadow kissing picture. I'm not sure if you know this.
Shadows kissing in the night.
So, the first thing we ended up doing is our dolphin and whale watch down in Cape May.
Dolphin and whales.
Yeah. I have to reiterate something to people. I always love doing it, but when you do 3 hours of driving and then you do another 3 hours on the boat, you could see yourself in a miserable situation.
Yes, yeah, especially if you're not seeing much.
Well, that's what happened. Like, the first hour, tons of dolphins by the shore, really cool, taking pictures.
That's cool.
We're getting excited. The last 2 hours, they didn't find a whale, and it was 2 hours of just driving further and further into the Atlantic Ocean.
No fucking whales.
Yeah, I was looking over at Izzy. Her head is down. She's not having a good time.
I told you I had a similar experience. I went on the moose tour at 6 in the morning, hung over as hell, and had to go on this bus for hours. We just couldn't find moose after we're out rowing in canoes and stuff and just could not find them. Mm-hmm. They're like, only one time ever we never saw a moose. And then of course, my trip.
Number two.
Yep.
So after that, we went back to our hotel. Real nice hotel. We were at the Wildwoods.
Nice hotel. Let's do it.
Yeah, we had time at the boardwalk, if you will. The rides were still open down there, so we did some roller coaster.
Rise of Tilt-A-Whirl.
Yeah, well, I did the roller coaster, I will specify, as he saw as the back thing. Mm-hmm. And we did the Ferris wheel, where she loved it, and I hated it beyond words.
What animal did you ride? Did you ride, horse, dragon? Oh, no, that's a carousel. Sorry. Confused. Carousels are weird.
I was looking at you there's a horse on the Ferris wheel? What?
Yeah, different type of ride. That's in Keensburg. That's a whole different story.
So we did that a little bit, and at nighttime, we went down to Cold Spring Brewery.
Cold Spring Brewery.
And they did a nighttime lantern ghost walk.
All right.
Around the place.
Which sounds cool.
Yeah, yeah. We might have a future guest, as I said before the podcast, as I send out these emails to people. I tend to sometimes accidentally not update the email.
I have made that mistake several times. Yeah. I'm like, we'd love to interview about your career in music. It's like, I'm a bear expert.
Yeah. That's what basically happened. I sent him an email. He said, I'd love to do the podcast. I must warn you, I don't know anything about dog training.
Yeah, that was probably a personal email to your
no, it
pup
wasn't,
friend.
Scott.
Yeah, all right.
But we did a walk.
Now, the Ghost Lantern Tour, that's one of those things that immediately you're like, okay, this could be really cool, yeah, or this could really backfire.
It was kept very cool. Yep. I mean, he's a psychic medium, and he's really devoted to telling the different stories. And he'd basically say, okay, they brought some of these historical houses from other places. These are ones that...
You sure he's
don't...
not a psychic extra large?
Oh, I see what you did there.
Okay.
Pumpkin spice, whatever.
Oh, God. All right. Houses.
But, you know, we went around and we snapped some photos in the dark. And I want to kind of bring this up. I think I saw a face in one of the photos.
If it's just going to be a picture of you.
No. Let me scroll back over there.
This is like your own dear David.
Yeah, I wasn't terrified. It was a cool moment. But like after I reviewed the picture, it was kind of like,
If you just, turn the phone and, I'd see, your ass or something like that, I'd be very disappointed.
So, first, I'll kind of show you the first picture with nothing in it, and I'll kind of zoom into the area.
Yep.
You see nothing.
Oh, in the left, you mean?
Yeah. So, there's nothing really you can see there.
Right.
So, let me go to the next one. And I'm not declaring I saw a ghost or anything like that, but I found it interesting. I'm going to zoom in here.
Mm-hmm.
Let me see.
So going sideways?
Yeah, right there, dude. I
turned
see...
this way, right? Turned sideways.
No, I see a face right there.
Alright, I gotta look at it.
Yeah. You kinda right. We don't have the technology to zoom in. It's not like NCIS.
Maybe.
Enhanced.
I kinda see what you're going with. Two eyes there and a nose.
A nose, yeah, that's what I saw.
Alright, well maybe you saw a ghost.
Yeah.
Did you get the ghost contact info?
No.
It'd be really cool to have a ghost on the cast.
I'd love to be on your podcast, but I know nothing about basketball.
All right. So you saw a ghost.
Yeah.
That's cool.
And the hotel was very nice. They had on the roof, they had a hammock area where they have
hammocks.
20 hammocks around there. Do you like sitting on a hammock?
It was an old school,
They had two. They had the newer school where it's kind of like a half of...
Sleeping bag, kind of?
Yeah, where you kind of just, fall into it, where you're just sitting on it,
right,
a seat, and then the other ones are, the lay-down hammock.
The lay-down ones can be a little sketchy, the old rope ones, if you lean either way.
Yeah.
But the newer ones are kind of cool. The ones you could, strap to two trees.
Mm-hmm.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah, I had Izzy lay down next to me, and there was a moment where we're just looking at each other this ain't gonna be working out too well.
So how many kissing pictures did you take total?
Kissing pictures in total. If I had to make a guesstimate over the weekend and a half, maybe 12.
Are you just, trained at this point? It's kissing picture, and you, get immediate, you know immediately what to do?
I do the selfie, and we'll get the two of us smiling and all that, and then eventually it's okay, we gotta do this.
I feel like your game's probably real strong now. You probably get perfect focus, you guys are in frame.
It took
good
me
face,
a while.
I feel like it would take me a while to learn the face to make. Otherwise, I'd be squinting too hard, and my eyes might be half open.
Well, I wasn't a picture guy before Izzy, and then Izzy took me to the extreme when it came to pictures.
Extreme picture.
It was just that moment. It's another one?
All right. Really? All right. But, so it was a good weekend?
Yeah, we had a hot tub in our room.
Oh.
Yeah.
Ugh.
Very nice.
Heart-shaped hot tub, like Poconos?
No, just like a really big bathtub. I will say, like, at first when we were trying to figure it out, I turned on the jets when there wasn't water in there, and it was just spraying everywhere. I was like, and the button wasn't that good, so you kept on pressing it. It's like, it's not turning. It just sprayed over the bathroom.
All right, well.
And then the next day, we went to two wineries, and we called it a three-hour drive day.
Burlew's Weekend of Discovery. Well, I'm glad you had a good weekend, buddy.
Yeah.
I'm glad you got in the hot tub, even though that image is making me want to throw up in my mouth. But
I guess the best thing of all, it's the first time in a long time I came off a vacation and I wasn't crying with inside knowing that work was around the corner.
No, it's not a bad. That's not a bad feeling.
No.
Good for you, buddy. But
Thank you.
Thank you. All right. Let's get to our guest. Like. Burlew, it's guest time.
All righty, man. Let's do this. I simplified it this week.
Each week I look forward to. Oh, Burlew's guest. Oh, it is? No. We have a guest?
Next one. Go ahead.
I'm excited. But anyway, I am excited about this guest, actually. It's got to be a couple months at least at this point. There's a couple videos going around of these guys playing. The one I first saw was from this band. I guess they were called, at the time, two of the guys were called Too Many Zoos. And it was a video of, like, two dudes just, like, ripping it in the subway with, like, a horn and a drum. And, mm-hmm. like, kind of went, like, viral. I saw, like, a lot of people posting the same video and, like, oh, my God, check this out. So I did a little investigating, and I saw more and more of these videos coming out. But they were a full-piece band. Like five horn players, like I know they got a clarinet in there. It's like a whole brass section with a drummer, and they play like a lot of covers, just like really good. It's just all horns, which is you don't see too much these days, and like especially in like modern music.
Yeah,
you know what I mean, like yeah, you see them in a brass band or something like that. But
it's
not
kind
like,
of a almost like a comeback from retro. Like you're starting to see more people like violinists. They get a lot of hits doing. Like more current songs nowadays, and it's just bringing it back to the old school band days, I guess.
Yeah. So the name of the band is Lucky Chops. Lucky Chops. They actually, right now, they're opening for a band that I like named Gogo Bordello, who's kind of a crazy act. But we have Josh Holcomb from the band Lucky Chops. He is the trombonist. So we're gonna give him a call in a second once I find the cord for my phone here. All right, Josh, this is Scott Brennan and Mike Burlew here from Verbal Shenanigans. How you doing, buddy?
Good. Thanks for taking the time, man.
Oh, no, man. Thanks for giving us the time. Josh, I was just talking about how I kind of came across your guys' band, but I also wanted to start here. You guys are you currently on tour with Gogo Bordello? Is that what I'm reading here?
Yes, actually, today we are on our first day off of a little break of that tour, thus my absence of communication because I was literally totally knocked out.
Oh, nice.
But
I always hope it
yes,
was the
it
first
is such
day.
An awesome, powerful tour.
I was hoping it was the first day of performing and we were calling you in the middle of it. That'd been awesome.
Like in between songs.
Hey, everybody, it's Rebel Shenanigans. Say hi.
Yeah.
But that's got to be quite the accomplishment. One, just for any band, but to be a five-piece horn band, you know, to get to open for a band that has such recognition like that, it has to be a pretty big accomplishment. So you guys should be proud of that.
Yeah, it's been super fun, and we were able to get on stage with them during their show, too, every night and rock out. So it's a great, great, great time.
Now, let's talk. So the first time I ever saw I saw the Too Many Zoos video in the subway, I was like, who is this?
Nice.
And I one video leads to another, and you go down the wormhole, and all of a sudden I'm watching these Lucky Chops videos. Now, first off, how long – I know I read that you guys formed over 10 years ago.
Yeah. Originally, we formed while in high school together. So it was my freshman year of high school at LaGuardia High School in Manhattan. And that was now almost 12 years ago, actually.
Now, were you guys still like all horns in, or were you like a ska band or anything like that?
No, we were the same kind of vibe, and we had some different people back then. But we've always been a horns and drums band. That's it.
I mean, that's pretty fantastic. Now, obviously, you guys are a New York City-based band. Have you always been in the subways?
So we actually started out playing in the streets first before the subways. Then we would go after school and head on over just in the streets, play for people. And we would actually go a lot of the times over to Central Park, which was just a few blocks away. So we would play in Central Park after school, hone in our chops, get to be better performers, and just serenade the people in New York with some happy music.
What's the kind of vibe in New York when it comes to when you're performing, whether in the subways or not? I know some cops are ball busters and talk about permits and stuff like that. Is it generally a good vibe that they let you go, or do you ever have to deal with them?
Oh, yeah. I mean, there's tons of ups and downs, and we definitely went through our numerous years of constantly getting kicked out of anywhere we go and, like, you know, getting tickets and getting into altercations with other people that are competing for the same spots. So it's not a walk in the park, but it is very fulfilling and rewarding.
Now when you're doing that, you're playing in the subways. Are you guys doing it like at the time? Are you working other jobs and just doing this at the this on the side, or are you like performing in different clubs and also like counting on this to survive?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So coming from high school, I personally always knew I wanted to be a musician. So that's all I've ever done. But some of the other guys, they went on to pursue various legit careers. And it was only after being a professional musician in other bands that I thought, actually, I think Lucky Chops has something different to offer the music industry than the professional bands that I've not been experienced with now. So I convinced everyone else to quit their jobs and do this full time about 4 years ago.
Oh, sorry, I thought you were in the middle of the sentence. But so you're doing this full time. Are you guys just like schlepping it, like, you know, the old starving artist thing? Or are you actually making significant money doing this?
Yeah, we're able to make a living, which is awesome. You know, between the power of the internet and online revenue, you know, which is great, and live shows, which, you know, we've been building up over the past couple of years. It's a really awesome opportunity for us to, you know, make a living doing what we love.
I was listening to some of your videos, and the covers you did were amazing. Do you guys just jam it out and figure out the vibe, or are you guys who, you know, read music notes and figure out off of that?
Yeah, so it's a little bit of everything, and we try out all different approaches. You know, we have a bunch of us have, you know, proper musical training, but we also really respect the value of just jamming, and there's so much creativity that comes with that really can't be reproduced any other way. So we try all different approaches to make our music, and most of the time we just jam and we never write anything out ever.
Really? That's interesting. Now let's talk about part of your presence is your guys' awesome dance moves and stage presence. Now, is that all just naturally coming out of you, or is this like I mean, some of the moves, I mean, guys spinning around and shuffling your feet and who is in charge?
Crazy.
Yeah, who leads that? And then do you guys actually try to like choreograph things, or is this all just naturally coming out of you?
Yeah, back in the day, we you know, when we were playing the subway, we were very, very intentional about choreography because, you know, you really got to capture people's attention in the subway if you want to make some money and if you want to make an impact. And so we would try and be really tight visually in order to, you know, just grab people's attention to the point where they would want to make videos about us. But once we started playing rock shows, we saw that people weren't responding to that as much. You know, it became a little gimmicky, which is totally all good, obviously. But
right.
But people responded more to just sheer going crazy, rocking out, and just giving 100% and just whatever that means to you individually. So that's when we started doing a lot of just spinning around, jumping up and down, rocking out, crowd surfing, you know, doing all that jazz.
Now, let's talk about when this band started to pick up and get some momentum. Now, I know some of it was from videos from, I guess, just tourists watching you, right?
Yeah, just random people, passersby in the subway.
Now, when you start to see those things go viral, did you guys have any, I guess what I'm saying is, like, were you, okay, we're kind of cool with just being a subway band and doing this, or were you, like, shocked overnight how big all of a sudden these videos were becoming?
I mean, it was such an incredible experience, for sure. Like, those first couple, like, million views, like, what is happening? But it's something that we had always kind of shot for, and that was kind of, it was kind of our goal. So to see that happening was really fulfilling.
Like, what was the build kind of like? Like, how much, when you started performing, how much was it people coming up, oh, I love this, versus the typical social media, now get a real job kind of deals?
No, I mean, I don't think we've ever really had any negative comments ever, which is crazy. Yeah, we're very lucky. But yeah, it's such an overwhelmingly positive, like, you know, feedback. It's really, incredibly humbling.
Now, do you guys use, like, do you still use the subway? Like, do you, you guys still down there performing whenever? Or now that you're kind of on tour, has that kind of faded out a little bit?
Yeah, it's hard just not being home very often to do a, you know, consistent subway kind of schedule anymore. So we haven't really done that for the past 2 years or so.
Mm-hmm.
But every now and then, whenever we're home for like an extended amount of time, which is very rare, we will still go back there just because it's fun for us at the very, you know, end of the day.
Now, have you guys ever set up in, like, say, like New Orleans on the street or anywhere else like that? Or is you guys pretty much strictly New York when it comes to, like, outdoor just performing for people?
No, we love doing it all over the world. Over the summer, we did a series where we would just pop up in different on the street in different cities in Europe, mm-hmm. and just start playing for those people and try. We got into some really funny places and situations, and it's just so much fun to do that. Just play public music, you know, at the end of the day.
Yeah, I mean, I was in New Orleans for the first time last year, and
nice.
Just the vibe of, like you said, the live music in the middle of the street is almost, you know, it's almost better hanging out on the streets than actually going inside the club sometimes.
Yeah, for real.
But let me ask you, so you, now that you guys, like, are starting to get established, like, how do you keep it fresh just being a horn band? Now, do you guys ever think about adding a lyricist to certain things, or are you, like, do you have one vision for this band to keep pushing, like, just the horns?
Yeah, I think that's, like, our main goal is to, like, be the singers, you know, as it were, like, just mm-hmm. as the instrumentalists and to get that sound out there. I mean, I'm sure we'll work with vocalists down the line, which we have, you know, we're excited to explore those possibilities. But we want to keep it as this kind of niche, like,
right.
singerless band, essentially.
For what it's, you're pretty young. You were born in 91, was it?
Yeah.
Yeah. So, in the 90s, I'm not sure if you have any memories of it. Like, there was a short period there, the ska period.
Oh, big time.
Yeah, dude.
Totally.
Yeah, were you into that movement and that kind of lead you? Or do you kind of lean towards, no, I happen to play a horn instrument and make it my own kind of sound in the music world?
Yeah, for sure. Me and our sax player, who also one of the founding members, went to LaGuardia, we both started out playing in ska bands. So, you know, we definitely have some strong roots in the ska music scene. And like you said, that time period, it was a really awesome scene to be a part of, especially as a young musician. They were very, like, open. I mean, we were like 10, 11 years old.
Right.
Being going into these trashy rock clubs, you know, smelling like crusty beer everywhere. And it was just such a fun, welcoming experience for young, young musicians to just get thrust into this world of rock and roll, which we're very grateful for.
Yeah, plus, like, back then, I remember I had a couple bands. We never had a ska band, but we had, like, you know, the pop punk band and stuff like that. And if you could play horns and stuff like that, there was a band for you. All, like, there was mm-hmm. a million
totally.
options, because if there was the five kids from school who could play horns, and then, like, no one else. So it was like you had your pick of the litter, what band you wanted to be in.
Yep, for sure. It was awesome.
Who's your ska band back then? Who's the one that you leaned towards?
the one that I was in, we were called the Malibu Boy Scouts.
based out of New York City.
No connection at all.
And then our saxophone was in a band called the Planeteers. And we were all into like the original Jamaican ska.
At least you had taste.
Satellite, Tank, you know, all those kind of guys. But we also loved, I mean, all the bands that were huge when we were there, like Streetlight Manifesto and Big D and the Kids Table, Real Big Fish, Catch 22. All those, you know, legends.
Definitely. So, like, you are, I guess you guys, a lot of you went to music school, and I guess you're also very classically trained, like, jazz, I would assume, and whatnot. Do you...
Yeah, totally, man.
So when you're outside of Lucky Chops, are you working with orchestras or jazz bands or anything like that? Like, is this just part of your music career, or is this everything right now?
Nowadays, it demands everything, which is cool because it's just, you know, you can really go 100% in one direction. But we still do like whenever we have time to make room for our other, you know, musical
projects.
Interests because they're really vast. You know?
Yeah. Now, there's five of you guys. You've been touring pretty heavy now, you said, for the last 2 years or whatnot. Do you guys have a big crew that travels with you? Like, I'm trying to think of, like, there can't be a lot of roadies or setups because you had just basically to take the horns out and hook the mics up. Like,
yeah,
no guitar techs or anything like that. Do you have a big crew, or is it just the five of you?
We always joke about getting horn techs, which I don't know if that's ever been a thing ever.
I'll be your horn tech. Don't worry about it.
I'll tour. I'll do the spit valves.
It's a great name for a song. I'll be your horn tech.
We have a sound guy who is awesome, and he's responsible for like making our shows exciting live and beyond just a acoustic horn band. And he really gives it a ton of rock and roll sound and, you know, really in your face energy. So we tour with him, and we also tour with a lighting guy to really give our show that over the top kind of lighting edge as well. So we have an awesome crew that we love touring with that are basically members of the band.
Now, are you exclusive on the trombone? Have you tried to, when you're in concert, do you do other horns or any other kind of instruments?
Yeah, good question. We all are pretty kind of multi-instrumentalist inclined. But I'm mainly just into the trombone, but our sax player also doubles on the bass clarinet when we play our shows.
Mm-hmm.
And he turns it into like a powerful like dubstep instrument with all these different pedals.
It's so much fun to listen to that. The sounds that come out of that,
it's
like
crazy.
It's like Skrillex meets you know, a ska.
Exactly.
It's amazing.
Exactly.
So underrated of an instrument.
Like it's cool.
Yeah, just the low tone he gets, and then they go up to like the squeaks and squeals he's able to do. It's just a really original sound you guys got going on, and I'm very curious to see where you go with that, like how far you can push that.
Sure.
But let me ask you: do you, as a musician and a person who came up in the street musician world, I guess you could say, or got success through that? Do you ever venture out just to go watch musicians on the street and see what's out there and kind of support that? Or
yeah, totally. I mean, we always, you know, will stop for the street performers. You know, we feel what they're going through. We've been there, so we always will stop and support and chat with them. And we also try and just go out to see as many shows as we can in general and support live music, period, and, you know, learn more about different music that's happening today.
That's awesome, man. It's got to be really cool to stick to the originality that you guys have and finally get, you know, I mean, not finally, you guys are relatively young, but to get, you know, start seeing some major success and, you know, like the internet is so powerful.
It really is.
You know, you just never know. Like, I feel like if someone does catch you in the right thing, there's this niche audience that, and it could just explode. You could reach whoever you need to, you know what I mean? It's just it's great for you.
Yeah, totally.
So,
internet's crazy. Totally. That's the power of being able to share things that you like with your friends. It's like the biggest PR machine in the world.
I mean, just cutting out any middleman. You don't need them. You know, like, it's just amazing.
Yeah,
you reach directly to the customer. But So if you were to say there was, if there one defining moment that's been like really, really awesome for you guys that you, you go, oh man, like I can't believe we were able to do that, like a festival or a show or open for somebody. Is there something that you guys that stands out to you?
Yeah, there's so many that have been so awesome. I think for us, just playing our first rock show, like when we were in, I mean, we were like 16 years old maybe. But before then, we had just played in the parks and on the streets. And then when we actually did a show that was at a rock club and people liked it, we were like, what? Like, this is possible? People can enjoy this in a rock venue? Like, that's awesome. Let's do this forever.
Now, has anybody come up to you after the show and just be like, dude, I played a flugelhorn so good. Let me get in here.
Yeah. Oh, man. There's so many musicians at our shows, which is so inspiring to see. Like eager young musicians and old, like all ages, who are like, oh, now I like playing music. Now I want to play other weird instruments. Like, yes, let's go. And sometimes we'll even jam with them for sure. And like, you know, have them on stage or at least the jam and sound check or something like that, you know, just to fuel people's motivation to play music.
Yeah, I thought that when I was in Ireland, that was one of the coolest things in the pubs. Like, it started out with, like, the one pub I was in, it started out with, like, just an acoustic guitar and, like, someone playing fiddle. By the end of, the 2 hours, there was, like, seven musicians. Like, people just showed up with different instruments and joined them on stage. It was, like, a really beautiful thing to see. It's, like, you don't see that as That's much awesome. Over here, you know? Not as much.
No.
But.
No.
But
it's a New Orleans culture, you know, I mean, which is where like we get our inspiration from.
Right. But I want to say, as you guys are touring, what are we looking forward to in the future of the band? Like, what are you guys working on?
Yeah. So our tour with Gogol Bordello is long. So it goes up until like March. So we're going to be cranking with them for a long time. But while we're on the road every day, we have rehearsal. Before the show, and we learn new music just to keep it like fresh. So we're preparing for a full length album that we'll be recording in the spring. So
awesome.
We're excited about that.
And you recently put out something too, right?
Yeah, we put out an EP a few months ago. Still cranking up singles and videos from that, and we got a bunch of more all ready to go that will be coming out in the next couple weeks. But we're super pumped to just keep recording new music.
Now, as you've made this your dream and you're touring and you made it a career and you're happy, is there anything in the back of your mind where you want to go back to your high school reunion and yell, I'm not a band geek, I told you?
I'm excited. I don't think anyone's going to remember who we are because we were just the band nerds in high school, but it'll be fun just to go. I mean, the school we went to is so awesome and they support music so much, so we're just excited just to go back to that school, honestly, however we can.
Now, before we let you go, I do see, I was reading on your website that you guys do like education, and you like come and do, I guess, workshops or like community outreach and stuff like that. Tell us a little bit about that before we get out of here.
Yeah, it's a huge passion of ours. You know, we were, like I said, obviously we've met in high school, so it's, we owe a lot to our educators that inspired us to play music.
Right.
And it's our hope that we can provide that inspiration to, you know, all the youth of the world to give them that opportunity, especially nowadays that music programs are often the first to get funding cut from them in New York City and across the country and the world. So we try and reverse that a little bit, go into schools, play for the kids, talk to them, you know, and just kind of maybe hopefully give them that like eye-opening experience that, oh wow, I can do this, which is so much fun and positive in my life, because music really helped a lot of us who grew up in New York City. We may have ended up doing bad things, you know, with our lives,
right?
But music really kind of gave us a positive direction to go towards.
That's awesome. I work as an educator, so I would love, I picture my kids just loving, you know, loving seeing you. I could picture you guys doing an assembly or whatnot, and
that's exactly what we do.
That's awesome. Do you guys ever come to Jersey?
Let's do it. Yeah, we're going to Jersey on Wednesday.
Really? All right. Yeah. Well, maybe I'll have to shoot you an email or text or something. Maybe we could.
Yeah, please do.
I mean, awesome. We're coming off Columbus Day, but we'll try to fit you in.
But, Josh, thanks so much for your time. Also, if people want to go check out Lucky Chops or what's going on or communicate, where can they go?
So, yeah, we're on all the social media platforms, and that's really like our, you know, meat and potatoes of where we try and interact with our fans. But we're also at LuckyChops.com, and you can find all of our stuff right there.
Awesome, man. Thanks so much, and good luck doing – I just keep doing what you guys are doing, and I think you're going to be around for a long time.
Thanks so much for the interview, man. Appreciate it.
Oh, that's really cool.
Yeah, it's just – it's cool that you know, it's so hard to stick out in general, but it's cool that, like, they've stuck to that from high school on, which yeah. I think is really inspiring. Like, I had so many bands that we just dispersed, you know. It's like that grind, you know, anything, comedy, bands, acting. It's so hard to break through, and it's just cool to, like...
When you lose that momentum, it's really hard to get the juices flowing if you don't have the right people around you.
And the band Gogol Bordello, they're like... They're kind of like gypsy punk rock, so they're like perfect match, these two. Like, I think they'd be a great opener for them, so it's pretty cool. They'd be really cool to see in like New Orleans.
Yeah,
it'd be a ton of fun to see them
somewhere where they have a great music vibe, man. That I can see that crowd going nuts over them.
Yeah.
Did I tell you I played trombone?
No, I played trumpet.
Yeah,
maybe we could start our own Lucky Chops.
Here's the thing. It was the third grade, and they're like, what instrument you want? And I said trombone. In the back of my head, I thought a trumpet was a trombone. Mm. So this big-ass thing comes to me. I'm like,
Did you carry on with it?
It lasted 2 weeks, and then gave me a trumpet.
You're kind of sitting with a big deal. I had a trumpet solo in elementary school.
Ooh.
So, I don't want to brag, but...
Hot cross buns?
Hot cross buns. This guy across from you can play a mean hot cross buns. I think that's exactly how it went. I think that's like one thing I don't want to do when I have kids, sit through those awful awful instrumental concerts.
You know what you do? You know those sporting events where you have like the player you like and somebody puts up like the piece of paper with their face on it.
Yep.
You just get one made of yourself, and I was like, yeah, I'm going to be the third road, son. Just, I love you.
Just sit real far back so he can't really distinguish if it's
he
a picture.
He can't see the stick holding up.
But let's take a break, and then I have a story for you about my pants. All right. So this weekend, I went to a wedding. Again. But this was a good wedding. This was my cousin's wedding in Philly. This wasn't like the last
no
wedding.
No exes showing up in that
No,
one.
No exes, no...
Why'd you bring the girl that dumped me in third grade to this?
It was my cousin's wedding down in Philadelphia. And you actually watched Obi.
Yeah.
So you guys got some good bonding time in, I'm sure. Okay, so let me set the scene here. Now, this is the side of the family that I go away every year with to the Adirondacks and to the lake, and they happen to be my mom's cousins. Now, I wanted to preface this like a little conversation beforehand. Have you, like, when I was a kid, when I was like 15, 16, I fought with my mom a good amount. Like, you know, being a teenager, I was probably wrong a lot of times, but, you know, my mom's like she was a little strict, but like, very bullheaded kind of like when we got into fights as a kid, I don't think she ever apologized to me ever. Like, I'm sorry, I was wrong. She was her way or like nothing.
Mm-hmm.
And I could be like that too. So I was curious. There's a lot of vehicles going on.
Yeah,
a lot of vehicles going on in the background.
Scott, there's a boat.
But a boat would be normal, but I think I heard a spaceship and now like a drag racing car.
No, I'm concentrating on the boat, Scott.
Oh. So I wanted to ask you, in your adult life, like I never fight with my mom.
Mm-hmm.
In your adult life, have you had any recent, like, not exactly fights, because fights, something went down.
I don't know.
Because fights would make oh that's my phone. Fights would make it seem like it's real bad. But have you had any like disagreeing? Because I feel really awkward fighting with my mom at the age I am as an adult. And I'll get to what happened. And it was a pretty funny story.
Like my mom, the last one I had, I think I kind of brought up on the podcast. That was the time that like my dad freaked out on me. He actually unfriended me on Facebook.
Oh, Facebook official.
Yeah. And now I have two family members that have unfriended me on Facebook. That's a different story. But it was a thing where like...
Your dad's refriended you, right?
Yeah. He was kind of holding... He still holds on to, one of your cousins put up something. They put up too much religious stuff, and it just happens to, after I commented on your thing, I unfriended the other one and accidentally unfriended you.
Because I remember trying to get in touch with your dad on Facebook when I was trying to plan the surprise party for the interview, and I don't think he answered, and I think I had to contact Izzy like for his phone number. You know?
Yeah, he doesn't go on Facebook a lot, but it was something like... I forget what it was. I changed my Facebook picture. There was a cool picture at one time. This is when the Dark Knight was like huge.
Yes.
Where there was a picture of Jack Nicholson Joker behind who played him in Dark Knight? I forget his name.
The other guy.
The one we all look at.
The blonde guy.
Yeah.
Oh, wait, the Joker. Duh. That's Heath Ledger.
Heath Ledger, thank you. So there was a picture.
I was thinking Two-Face for a second. I'm like, I don't know that guy's name.
But it was a cool picture where somebody photoshopped Jack Nicholson behind Heath Ledger, both in their Joker outfits. And I thought it was kind of cool at the time. So I made it like my profile picture.
Right.
And my mom literally kept calling me. And I remember I did some kind of like crazy work shift and I didn't want to be bothered, but she kept on calling. And she got a hold of me and she left me a voicemail and I listened to the voicemail where she basically said, "Your father's freaking out. With all the shootings going around, he thinks you're going to look bad or whatever, blah, blah, blah." And it hit a nerve on me.
Yeah.
Something.
Right.
So
this was a while ago now.
This is like 7-8 years ago.
Yeah,
like I want to say like I was like 33 at the time. Mm-hmm. So we're close to almost a decade
right.
ago.
But okay.
It just hit the nerve in the wrong way. Mm-hmm. So like after four attempts, she called me back again a fifth time, and I just let loose on her. I mean, my anger was for my dad at the time. Well, both, because they're kind of it's like I went off on them. I'm like, I'm a 33-year-old man, and you are leaving me messages about what my profile picture should be on Facebook.
Yeah.
And you say I'm loud now. I was full volume, Michael Berlew,
it's
a scene and a half.
So you weren't talking to them over the phone.
I was talking.
Yelling.
Well, they could have heard me from Georgia. That's how bad it was. I mean, I just flipped
out.
The
sound was traveling right down the Appalachian Trail.
People in South Carolina, what's going on?
Huh?
Who?
Spaceship?
Joker. But I just flipped out, changed the profile picture. I basically ended with, "You happy now?"
Yep.
And I basically reiterated to them because they were getting like really commenty on everything I did, where it'd be something like, some guy was really close to me in traffic today. I bet he didn't like it when I started going 5 miles an hour just to piss him off.
Right.
I think my dad's response is, "It's all fun and games until he pulls out a gun."
Oh, boy.
And that was when he unfriended me. So I basically told my mom, I'm like, "All right, I block both of you from every Facebook status I do.
Mm-hmm.
What else do you want to not have in your life from me?" And I literally said, "You know me. I don't talk that much. I don't call that many people."
Mm-hmm.
"So if you, this is the one place where you're going to get natural me. So if you want to lose that, let me know."
Right.
And I hung up. And I pretty much didn't talk to my dad for a couple of years. It was a few weeks. Like my mom would call me and she'd be like, "You know, your father hasn't heard from you in a while." I'm like, "Yep, Bones here."
Now you always had a pretty good relationship with both of them, right? Like
My dad, I had a really good relationship. I did have a bad relationship with my mom, but like I didn't have a great high school life, so I was always at home, and she was always a shut-in, and our personalities
clashed.
Kind of clashed, so I mean, it wasn't bad, but it was always like, ugh, there you are. But
so you would say it's much better now.
Night and day, night and day. But I would say that was probably like the last like real fight I had with my parents. So, and my dad even said like when I went down to Georgia that time, my mom almost died, and we had to put down the dog. He pretty much pulled me aside and he apologized. He's like, I shouldn't have, you know, gone nuts about it. It's your life, so.
Mikey went down the Georgia. I don't know.
He was looking for a fight.
He was looking. So
his mother was dying because of almost a dog bite. She lived. So
She's alive, people. She's alive. We'll call her right now to prove it.
Mom?
She's been on the podcast once.
Once, yeah. We talked about
Papa Burl's been on twice.
Yeah. We talked about what my female name would have been if I was born a girl.
Didn't we just like... in the middle of the cast, like we're talking, like, all right, let's call her.
That was the time we were doing it twice a week, and we looked at each other like, what the hell are we going to talk about now? Mm-hmm. And it was just a random thing where Caitlin, I got my name because...
I think we were doing it just kind of whenever. I don't think we ever had let's podcast tonight. Oh, I want to podcast again. And this is when we were both like, when I was pretty much alone in the house all the time, and you hadn't met Izzy yet, so it was just like, sure. And we just come out like no planning.
No.
Much looser back then. Not necessarily better, but like no schedule.
Exactly.
So I'm going to call this this story the Pants Saga.
Ooh.
Okay. Now, a little background for the listeners. I was telling you my mom. She's the nicest woman in the entire world.
Very nice woman.
Very warm.
Many times.
Caring. So, Mom, if you're listening... nothing against you. This is just
and Mom, if you're not listening, what the hell?
Yeah.
I'm your son.
So I've always thought she had this weird thing with this side of the family. Like she was always trying to impress them, kind of, or like stay in line. Mm-hmm. Like before we go on vacations, my family vacations are a little crazy because they're very planned. Like we have, because there's 40 of us, so it's like you have to sweep the floor this to everyone at his jobs, and you're on dessert duty one night and happy hour duty another night, and which makes sense. If there's 40 of you all together, you have to have some kind of system going. Otherwise, you have 40 people in the kitchen every night, you know, going crazy.
Yep.
But I've always felt this kind of thing in the back of my mind. Like, she's always trying to impress them or worried about what they think. Because now my mom never had any sisters.
Oh, wow.
And her one brother is in the nursing home permanently. He had a stroke. And the other brother, they were never really close. So she always saw these cousins. There's four girls on that side really as like her sisters growing up. They were very close. They went on vacation together all the time. So I think she really tries to stay attached to them. So now, we went to my cousin Eric married a Filipino girl. And you weren't allowed to wear black to the wedding. Okay.
Is that a Filipino thing?
Yeah, I think it said on the invitation, please don't wear black. Like, it's a tradition. Like maybe it's like a anti, I don't know. Whatever. Whatever it is.
Go on.
I only have two suits. I have one black suit, and I have one, it's like a taupe, like brownie kind of suit.
Yeah.
And that's an older suit. And I'm like, I don't know if it's going to fit. So I get the suit from my mom. I try it on the other night because it was at my mom's house, still hanging downstairs.
Mm-hmm.
And I tried on the other night. I'm like, all right, it'll be fine. So Saturday comes. I put on the suit here, and we're going to drive down to Philly. And I'm like, oh, man, these pants are, like, a lot tighter, especially in, like, the butt region. I'm like,
okay,
one like,
wasn't
crazy
like,
dance move, and we're going to blast out of these.
So like, it wasn't, like, a flattering butt showing off kind of tight pants.
No, it was definitely, like, ooh, maybe in, like, the crotch butt region. Like, if there was a belt, like...
like a crevice is down there where it's like, all right, something's going to happen.
So it wasn't a good feeling. So I'm like, already. I'm like, this is going to be uncomfortable, but I don't have any other option. But...
yeah.
In the back of my mind, I packed my stuff because we stayed over, and I put in a pair of pants. You know, just, God forbid something happened.
Yeah.
I have this pair of pants. No, they're just like normal, like colored jeans, like work pants kind of thing. They're fine. They're not like, they're not like dressy, but just in case I blew my ass out, I'm there. We go to the ceremony. I'm sitting. It's a Catholic ceremony, so it's a lot of kneeling, standing, kneeling, standing, kneeling, standing, sitting, kneeling, standing, singing, kneeling, sitting. You know, like that. That
like
whole
where
kind
this
of thing.
Is going.
Yeah.
Go on.
It's not exactly what you think. I did not go to kneel and just boom, like a button shot across and hit. If it was like a, you know, an old 80s movie, it would hit the Mary statue and explode. But
amen.
I picture like a Naked Gun movie. You know, like, but I go to, like, sit down, and I thought I felt like a snag.
Okay.
And then I ignored it. I'm like, oh. I thought it was, like, the butt in on the pocket, just kind of rubbing against the pew.
Yeah.
And then I, like, felt that again. I'm like, oh, shit. Something's, like, catching. And there's a little – I look, and there's, like, a little tiny nail head that's, like, sticking out of the wood a little bit.
Okay.
I'm like, oh, my God. It probably, like, went through my pants. So I didn't feel anything. Mm-hmm. I'm like, okay. So where we say hi to the bride, blah, 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 with bubbles, all that stuff. So there's about 2 hours between the ceremony and the reception. And we're there, and we're hanging out in a room, having a drink or whatever before the wedding. And I'm like, oh, I thought I was snagging myself on something. And I'm walking, I'm like, I have my jacket off because we're all just hanging out. And I walk into the bathroom, and my mom's in there, and she's like, wait a minute, come here. She's like, oh. I think I see some holes in the butt of your pants. I'm like, oh, no. Sure enough, they're like, you know, like decent sized holes. Like,
yeah.
You see, like, the mic input here? Like decent little, like, bolt. It looked like you took, like, a shotgun. And it was like,
a little BB gun.
Yeah, like little BBs. I'm like, I can't wear these. Like, this is embarrassing. Like, I'm not being on the verge, one, of the pants blowing out beforehand, and then two, the holes just making it work, and just ba-boom, and then I'm bare-ass on the dance floor. So I go, and I'm looking at my bag, and I pull out the pants, and I'm like, all right, I'll just wear these. My mom's like, no, you're not. You ain't wearing those. I'm like, Mom, yes, I am. I'm not going to wear pants with holes in the butt.
Mm-hmm.
And we're kind of going back and forth like that, and she's like, oh, no, you're going to wear them. You're not going to look like a... like a slob, blah, blah, blah. I'm like, Mom,
like a slob? There's holes in your ass.
Yeah. Well, she's like, no one will even notice. You'll have your jacket on and it'll cover. I'm like, ironically, you're the one that noticed. You saw the holes in the pants. And she's like,
I like how you're going to wear the jacket like 80s style, you know, tie it up against your waist and looking good.
And so, like, it starts to get awkward in the room because I'm like, no, I'm not wearing pants. And I feel like I'm, like, 15 again. Like, that kind
of,
like.
Just out of curiosity, no. The other pants, were they black? Is that why she was going back and forth with you? Or
no, the reason I was saying the no black, that was part of the story because I had to wear my older brown suit.
Okay. So these other pants just don't match your outfit?
No, they're just, like, not, like, dressy enough. They kind of almost look like colored jeans almost.
But, okay.
Like, they're fine. You would never notice. And no. I kept saying, Mom, no one's looking at me. This is the bride and the girl. I'm like, you're more worried about impressing, like, your cousins or whatever than your son having his ass hang out. Like, that's literally the words I was using. And, like, I'm, like, laughing, but I'm starting to get heated at the same time.
Yeah.
I'm starting to, like, almost, like, talk to the room.
It's
you know,
a
like,
joke, but at the same time, you know she's serious, and it's pissing you off. That is a serious
And her
moment.
Reactions are starting to get worse. She starts getting quiet and, like, and whatever. And my sister's laughing. And my dad's, like, I see right away my dad's, like, my dad's always played the neutral, like, I'm not getting involved in this. It's probably smart, because if he gets involved one way, he's screwed, and then gets away the other way. So I'm starting to get heated. I'm like, you know what? Like, this is ridiculous. I'm going to wear the pants. No matter what, I don't care. I'm going to wear the pants.
Yeah.
And I'm wearing the pants. I don't care. I'm not wearing holes in my pants. And then Alex is in there, and she's like, oh, babe, don't worry. I'll sew them. I'm like, I'll go downstairs. I'm like, no. The point is I'm not wearing the pants. So it's going back and forth. And so my mom gets up, and she's like, I got to leave. So she gets up and, like, grabs the bottle of wine, tucks it on her shoulder, and walks out and goes into her room, like,
that is
leaves
like
us.
A
leaves
Sex
us.
In the City kind of exit right there.
So leaves us, and all of us are like, what the hell? Like, looking at each other like, oh, my God. Now, my sister and her husband are on. My sister, they're like, I know, I don't, that's ridiculous. And even my dad's like chuckling, like, I don't know. Yeah, that's crazy. You know, Mom, because she's been sick for a while. So he's like blaming her. He's like, oh, you know, she hasn't been feeling well. I'm like, but Dad, my pants have holes in them.
Yeah, stomach flu should not persuade if you should wear pants with holes in it at a wedding.
So now, like, son guilt is hitting me. Like, you know, like, I'm like, this is, what am I going to do? What am I doing here? So the whole time I'm talking to my sister and Alex, and I'm going off on a tangent, and I'm like, you know, having a beer, just like mulling over it, you know? Mm-hmm. So Alex goes downstairs and gets a little sewing kit or whatever. I guess they have them. I didn't even know that. Like, the place had, like, a little kit they gave her. And she does her best and, like, puts together, like, one like, little part of the pants. And I'm like, all right. Like, and it's getting closer to where we got to get down. I'm like, you know what? Here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to put the pants on.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to go downstairs to the cocktail hour and fight through it just to make Mom happy. And then I'm going to purposely blow the pants out and, like, go upstairs and change and then just rip the pants, like, more and be like, see? Like, this is what happened. So this is my devious plan.
Ooh.
But, so I wore the pants.
You're doing, like, squats.
Yeah. He's got some good dance moves, but they're aggressive.
Damn. Up and down, up and down. This boy don't play around. This
booty. Let me see that booty drop. Like,
oh my God, this is the chicken dance song. What the hell?
So I did last longer in the pants than normal, and I could tell my dad and my mom. And then there's like a cocktail hour, like my mom looking like across the room at me, like, and I'm just like looking not at her.
Mm-hmm.
And like she comes over and like she gives me a kiss on the, like, you know, the side of the head, and she's like,
that was satisfactory.
Like, the pants look fine. And I'm like, no, they don't. I said, this is where I let her have it a few times. I'm like, you're more worried about them than you are about me. Blah, 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 blah. And like, I said a couple comments like that. I'm like, no. Mm-hmm. And then that was probably the last, like, negative action. So then I wore the pants for like another half hour. And then I went upstairs and changed them without her knowing.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm out on the dance floor having a good old time.
Woo!
Like, and you know, wedding songs.
Yeah.
And at the end of the night, I'm like, you didn't even notice, did you? She's like, I noticed, but I knew that she was lying. Like, she did not notice that I changed those pants.
Mm-hmm.
And then, because it's dark on the dance floor, you know, like, no one noticed. She's like, yeah, I noticed you changed the pants like a couple minutes into the wedding. I'm like, no, because you're wrong, because I changed them about like halfway through. And we kind of ended up having a laugh about it. But it was – I haven't had a fight like that with my mom in a long, long time. And it was just over the most ridiculous thing that doesn't even – I don't know. It's just so stupid.
What would have been really funny, like a sitcom moment, your mom goes upstairs and she puts like little holes in your second pair of pants. So when you change
she
into
sabotaged.
It oh, looks like you have to go to the first pair.
Mama knows best. You know, like,
then the theme song comes on. Family Matters will come back next week.
So it was just a ridiculous overall thing, but I thought it was a pretty good story to share.
Yeah.
Real quick, I did this once at a Filipino wedding because Jackie and Mike, my friends Jackie, Mike, Jackie, I've known since second grade. She's Filipino.
See, I got to go to Filipino weddings. They sound amazing by all of them that you go to.
That's why I've been to two. But they do this thing called the money dance, which is essentially like formal stripping.
You pin singles.
Pin singles to the bride or $5, $20. But when I did it at Jackie and Mike's wedding, it was like kind of formal. Like I would come up and dance with the bride. Uh-huh. Like you have like a maybe 30, 45.
It was a formal grind.
Yeah. So, no, but like you would dance with her and then like pin it and then the next guy would come. Like a formal train.
Yeah.
Like, no. No, but
it's the most sophisticated gangbang in the world.
It was really like – it was actually kind of nice because everyone lined up, talked to the bride for a few seconds. They did the money dance at this wedding, and so the bride and groom got together in the middle of the floor, and everyone just rushed. It looked like one of those old like 80s movies with like the Asian people gambling on fights. Like everyone was like throwing, and like they were so like, say me and you were dancing, right? We're holding each other tight.
Like, please do so.
And my cousin has like a long hair and ponytail. They're like shoving dollars into his ponytail and like jamming them. They put them in his ears and they're like, hold on. And everyone's just lined up like a crowd of people. And they're like, I'm like, this is insane. Like,
I feel dirty just hearing this.
It was kind of crazy. And I like, people are just pinning things to the back of the bride. Like, it was mayhem.
That doesn't seem worth be $20. just write me a check.
I'm like, wow, the other one was kind of nice and like, you know, a nice moment. This was like the running of the bulls, but
so that was one of them Southern Filipino dollar cases. Yeah. You got to go north for the classy stuff.
Oh yeah. Should we get to our other guest?
Why not?
All right, Berlo, it's time for our second guest of the night. So this one's pretty interesting. Were you a Tecmo Bowl fan?
The original Tecmo Bowl, yeah. I've had, I think I had two versions of the game. I remember when I first got the game, it was two runs and two passes. Then they upped it to the next level where there was four rushing plays and four passing plays.
That's the one I Tecmo Super Bowl.
There you go. There you go.
Where Lawrence Taylor
was, he had Barry like Sanders, half a second to.
I'm trying to think.
Bo Jackson
was invincible. If you just did that diagonal move, you couldn't catch him. But I know we talked about this on the podcast, but who knows when. Who knows? It doesn't matter. I'll talk about it again. But me and my brother used to always play each other, and he used to hog the Giants. So I never got to be the Giants. And they had a flea flicker to Stephen Baker that you just could not stop. Like, if he got it off, Stephen Baker was always open in the end zone. But that's why I had to, like, kind of pick a second team, and that's why I kind of like the Steelers a little bit to this day, because I just picked them, and Bubby Brister was their quarterback at that time. But so who do we got coming on? I know they have a lot of oh, thanks for the bullet, babe. But
what?
Yeah, see, there's a bullet.
Oh, what is that from?
My sister's wedding, the groomsman gift. But Berlo, who do we got coming on here?
We got coming to us the guys from Tecmo Madison. They have one of the biggest Tecmo Bowl tournaments of the year. The next one's coming off on March 2018, and we'll be talking to David Murphy.
I think I like this guy because I see part of his response about Josh Eppert and Riley Breckenridge.
Yeah.
And Sean.
Yeah, Dave Murray. I apologize, but he talked about, he called me, he's like, I'm so sorry, I don't know what happened. Basically, he was in Florida during the hurricane, and he was apologizing to us for not getting back to us.
Good.
On it.
At least he gets the point.
Yeah, yeah.
Listen, no natural disaster stops this train from going.
No, that wildfire in California, we're going to call some people. You know?
So these guys do what? They run
a huge Tecmo Bowl tournament and declare a champion. The tournament goes until March 2018.
I think I've seen like a little documentary piece on this somewhere. I don't know if it's the same guys.
I think they've been on ESPN and a few other the sports networks.
All right, well, let's give them a call and see what's up. Hey, Dave Murray.
That's me.
Hey, it's Scott Brennan and Mike Berlo here from Verbal Shenanigans. How you doing?
Hey, yeah, I'm doing well. How about yourself?
Oh, we're doing great.
Doing good, man.
Dave, I know I will be. I know we'll get along because I saw some of your responses to Mike, and you love Josh Eppert and Riley Breckenridge and Sean Kemp. So pretty much we're best friends now.
No, right? Long lost brothers.
Did we just become best friends?
Scott, why are you pointing to the exit and me at the same time? I don't understand this.
But Dave, welcome to the podcast. Thanks for giving us a few minutes, man.
Yeah, no, thanks, guys. Thanks for having me.
Now, Dave, Tecmo Super Bowl, or I don't know if you go play. Is it you guys based around Tecmo Bowl, the original, or Tecmo Super Bowl?
Tecmo Super Bowl.
All right, good.
The better one.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Now, where did the love of this start? Were you like every kid, probably, I'm guessing we're similar ages, where it was like the Nintendo game that consumed your childhood for a couple of years? Or did you get into this later in life for some reason? What's the story behind this?
Yeah, sure. No, I was one of the few that got it on Christmas morning when I was 9 years old, so I was pumped. Me and my older brother, we played the original Tecmo Bowl a ton. And there's one of those things, and we saw it coming up in Nintendo Power, and we're like, dude, we have to get this, you know, begging mom and dad, and, you know, you just have to wait and see if you actually get it. So we opened like some random game beforehand, and we were like totally bummed out. But then, you know, later on, they knew what they were doing. They held out on us, and we opened the real deal right before it's over. And, you know, we freaked out. And then, yeah, I mean, we played it nonstop for like a few years. All the kids in the neighborhood would come over, and we'd have like little tournaments, and we had a notebook, and, you know, kept our records, which it seems is pretty common now that you meet all these people and talk about it. We kind of all did the exact same thing. So, yeah, it was pretty awesome.
Did you have a go-to team originally, or were you one of them guys who just look for Bo or Lawrence Taylor and just go for them?
No, I mean, I was actually kind of weird when I was a kid. I really liked the Jets. For some reason, other than
you were weird.
I thought Dennis Byrd had a cool name, and he was actually pretty good. So I used him quite a bit, and then we moved to Tampa soon after, and so I ended up using the Bucks quite a bit, and I ended up becoming that's still my go-to team these days.
All right. Now, when you were playing this Tecmo Super Bowl, as you got older, did you like hang on to it and keep playing it, or did it just visit you later in life?
Yeah, kind of both. We played it for a really long time, even the games that came out after it. You know, as we got older and realized, once you got past like the star aspect of it, of, you know, the Bow and the Nigerian Nightmare and all that kind of stuff, once that wore off, we got better at the game, and then realizing like how much matchups came into it, how much playbooks came into it. And so, you know, we got pretty hyped on it for a while. We still played it for quite a bit. And then, you know, college came, we played it for a little bit, and then that ended up like really getting into Quake in college and then Halo. So took one kind of took a back seat. But after that, being a young adult, one day I was living with my brother actually, 2001, 2002, and it just popped in my mind, like, I wonder if there's a Tecmo Super Bowl league. And I just typed it in, and I found this site, Kenobi.org, with all these dudes that are all my age, and there's online leagues. Like, emulators are like a new thing for me. Like, I didn't know what any of that was. And so I just like sat down, and I had to like try out to be in this league. Like, I got to play the guy that ran the league, and it was like my first ever online Tecmo Super Bowl match. You know, I was playing on a keyboard, my like hands were sweating. It was so funny. It was like it's like an AAU game when you're like 10 or whatever. You're like butterflies in the stomach. Like, I got that whole feeling. It was just like so funny, but really, because I couldn't believe this existed. You know, I was like, man, I thought it was just me and my group of 10 friends. But that's how I got like hooked into all the scene. It was just like a couple decades later, just kind of coming back to it. And yeah, I mean, that's how I got involved with Madison and, you know, all this stuff. It kind of just the obsession recaptured me and grew from there. And to the point now that my wife's like, oh gosh, you're going to be a podcast about Tecmo. And she's like, walk away, you know?
Perfect.
So, yeah. So, it's been a wild ride for sure.
So when you're starting these tournaments, how do they set it up? Do they update it with the latest guys and new plays? Is it still the old school from what we remember as kids?
Yeah. So Tecmo Madison, it's all the original rosters.
All right, good.
And that's a lot of it ties to the nostalgia of that, you know. Well, kind of everything I just said to kind of recap it. Now there's 300 dudes in a room, all for the same reasons of they play with their friends, and they're the best in their neighborhood. You know, like, we have out and out like professionals now. Like, the same guys kind of win it every year. It's kind of like, I think probably they're part of their family budget at this point, because they know they're going to get a few thousand bucks every spring. But yeah, I mean, it's a lot of fun. It's a lot of love, you know. We all get along because we've known each other over the years now. But, you know, new blood comes in, and there's not really ever fight, but there's the, oh man, fumble the wrong time and slam the controller and spill a beer stuff.
Yeah. Maybe there's not a lot of fights in person, but everybody's wife is fighting with them as they're leaving to go play.
Yeah,
a Tecmo Super Bowl tournament.
You know, we hear a lot of, all right, go get it out of your system kind of stories, which is great.
All right, now let's talk about the tournament itself. So I see on your site it says you can have up to 292 competitors. Right. How do you go about, like, are you at the point where you're getting so many people that you have to choose, like, you have to choose, you know, people have to actually be, like, cut off and they're not allowed in the tournament? And, like, how do people submit to be in it? They just say, hey, I want to play, or is there a process to it?
Yeah, so for the most part, it's a first-come, first-served thing. Over the year, it's just grown to have a pretty big mailing list that people are part of, and, like, it's a Facebook page nowadays that we interact with everybody on. So we'll tell everybody, hey, it's going to be this weekend, and then usually about 6 months ahead of time, we'll open up registration for it. And it typically sells out within that first week. It's become such a thing now that, like, it's marked on everybody's calendars. Like, the first 2 weekends of April, it's going to be one of those weekends. So, and we send out that blast, and then the really hardcore guys are like, you know, we typically do it about midnight Eastern time. So we'll have, like, 100 right then and there, which is kind of fun.
Jeez.
But this year, we have a few qualifying tournaments this year.
Wow.
Because it's gotten so expansive to where so many people want to get involved, and we can attribute a ton of that to Facebook, just kind of getting better, you know, just kind of marketing to the crowd, and our Facebook page keeps growing and growing and growing, so people are more familiar with it. And we spun up just a few qualifying tournaments. One, to get more exposure, just so more people see what's going on. But two, our tournament is seeded top to bottom. So there's a one seed, and then there's a 292 seed. And so that helps us do that as well. We kind of get some records and some, you know, game film of guys ahead of time, so we can really get into that process. Because to seed it probably takes a solid 2 months, just going back and forth. And once you get down to the middle, you got to make a lot of hard choices there. But we think that's just the most fair way to go about it. Reason being, there's some guys that are just really good, and, you know, just to be frank, it's really hard to beat him. Like, last year's champ, he hasn't lost for 2 straight years. Wow. So two undefeated runs. So, you know, a guy that's, like, you know, in the top 60 or something, you have to make sure that he doesn't really get lumped in with him right away, because it's just, he'll just get decimated. So, one, it crushes spirits, and people don't want to come back. So you don't want to do that, because it's like, hey, it's a lot about the hugs and the beers and the hanging out, as well as a tournament. That's where it's kind of unique and kind of with this odd niche in the esports world, because we're getting thrown into that category now, to where it's not as cutthroat, just because we are hanging out and we're a bunch of middle-aged men. So
I love it.
That's so awesome.
Yeah, it's a lot of fun. And so yeah, we start to seed it, and we've expanded a little bit. So there's our first qualifying tournament was actually in Dallas. Back in August, I flew down there and ran. It was at a retro game convention there called Let's Play Gaming Expo. And so that was fun. We had 32 guys come out, and, you know, we sold out that. We capped it because we didn't know what we were getting into. But it was a blast, man. It was having all these other guys come in and be like, oh, man, I saw you on this website. Or, you know, you guys probably saw it, but ESPN and NFL filmed the documentary on the tournament in 2012. Yes.
See, I was saying, I know I've seen this documentary somewhere, but I couldn't remember what network it was on. It was on ESPN, right?
Yeah, it was on ESPN, too. Yeah, it's, you can go on YouTube and just type in Tecmo Bowl ESPN, too. Like, some guy recorded on his DVR and threw it up there. yeah, when that happened, man, the following year after that, it was like, it sold out in, like, a day. It was just like, boom, oh, my gosh. And, like, that year we had 48 states represented.
Wow.
Which is pretty nuts. Yeah, it was a lot of fun. Last year we had 40, which is still a respectable number, but...
Goddamn, like, Wyoming.
We were missing. Yeah, no, it was Arkansas and Hawaii. Those are the two that were missing.
Come on, Arkansas, step it up.
What are they doing in Arkansas that's better than this?
I don't know, moonshine, probably something, you know.
Yeah, I'm on your page, and it talks about, I mean, it's a huge detailed list of the different rules of the tournament.
Yeah.
I mean, how long did it take to get to this structure, and was there any specific story you can tell where somebody just, like, flipped out where it's like, all right, we got to make a rule on this?
Well, some of them exist from when we were kids. You know, like, you probably remember if you were Jerry Ball on, you know, Detroit, or Bob Nelson on Green Bay, and as soon as you hike the ball, you just dive and sack the quarterback. And, you know, I probably punched my brother 100 times for him doing that. Like, come on, that's crap. You know, like, why you got to do that? Just ruins it. So that's where the lurching rule comes from, just because it blows. And, you know, we don't say on there, like, don't look at the other guy's controller, but that's just like the unwritten law. You know, like, come on. There's common respect in this room, so don't do that. But other situations, yeah, I mean, it's kind of trial and error over the years. One of the rules actually was a byproduct of the result of that NFL Films documentary. If you watched it, like, Chet beat Moore just by, he had a wide receiver at a running back slot, because that's a default for some teams. And how the players are rated through Tecmo, it's like they're in groupings of speed. And for acceleration purposes, wide receivers are just way faster than running backs.
Yeah, see, I was looking at that as – we were talking, you can move. I don't remember being able to move players in the different slots. You can do that? Or
I
no?
remember that. Like, I remember.
Oh, yeah. Little, like, top menu, right?
You can move the depth chart, and you can move the plays. Like, I remember as a Redskins fan, when I was playing at home, I would play the Giants, and I'd give them every, like, lateral, wide receiver, handoff, all that stuff. I'd beat him by like 200 points, and I'd make Mark Bavaro the running back because it took him 2 weeks to get to the line of scrimmage.
You got to forgive me. Like most people, it's been like 25 years since I played. Most people.
Yeah, right. I mean, that's your question. Yeah, you can adjust that stuff in Tecmo Super Bowl. In Tecmo Bowl, it's just all static. You can't really do anything.
Okay.
So that was one of the bigger differences between the two. But yeah, so just really trial and error. I mean, I can't recall any crazy specific stories other than, you know, that when Chet beat Mort, and Mort kept saying in the documentary, like, oh, that was garbage, you know, kind of his line from that now. You're going to be lost just because of that. He has, like, Bo Jackson on the Redskins. He just put all the running plays in there, and it's just kind of broken. So, I mean, if you're 49ers, you throw Jerry Rice at running back, it's just like, you're not going to lose. So
now, who, in your opinion, since you have so much experience in this game, give me, like, who's the top three, like, players in the game? Not people who play the game, but people in the game. Like, Bo Jackson, I remember Lawrence Taylor being ridiculous. But who's that? Yeah. Who's, like, the big three?
Big three. For me personally, QB Eagles, Randall Cunningham.
Okay.
He's super fast, and he's, like, really accurate, so he has to play them a very specific way. He'll kind of eat you alive. Kind of like, if you guys ever gotten into Madden, you know, like, 04, Michael Vick.
Yep. Impossible. Run around and throw bombs.
He doesn't even play the game. Yeah, that's kind of stupid. And NFL 2K, Randy Moss, that 1 year. Like, this isn't even fun.
All right, so
yeah,
Randall
Cunningham's kind of that way.
Yeah. All right.
Yeah, other offensive weapons. Yeah, Bo Jackson, and he's great. His supporting cast isn't that great, so if I were to influence that a little bit, you know, individually, yeah, he's the best. He's the fastest. He's awesome. defense, that's tough. Yeah, Lawrence Taylor's great defense. It'd probably be a tie for me with Lawrence Taylor and then Wayne Haddock on the Bucs.
Really?
Slot number three.
What about Christian Okoye? Yeah, wasn't he like a monster in that game too?
Yeah, he's great. Christian Okoye in a man-to-man matchup isn't that awesome. The reason being, like, his big attribute is his hitting power.
Wow.
So, like, when you're playing the computer, how hitting power works, it's just, like, a quick calculation, and he can, like, just popcorn the player. That means where you just instantly, like, you know, pancake him. But in a man versus man matchup, like, it instantly locks into a grapple, and that's when you mash the A button. So it kind of takes away its power in, like, a tournament setting.
Wow.
He's still great, and you can still run over computer players, but you'll match up against somebody that knows just to go immediately grapple with him. So it kind of just negates that if you're not a good tapper, as we say, you can tap the A button fast.
Wow.
He's still good. He's just not, like, on that out of this world level, like, when you play against the computer. So a little different. I'll say LP Wayne Haddock's tie.
Now, as you were talking about
Cunningham.
Oh, go ahead.
Sorry.
No, I was going
to say yeah, Brett Arcanigan, Bo Jackson, and LT Wayne Haddock. That'll be my top 3-4.
All right.
All right. Now, you talked about how amazing these, like, top 50, let alone the top 10 people. Are those the type of people that when you call the same play as them on defense and 11 players rush the quarterback, they can find a way to get the play off?
Oh, absolutely, yeah. Yeah, they a lot of playbook construction will have to deal with that because a lot of pathways they have, like an out route or a hot route, we call it, just where, like, the running back will just run to the top of the field just in the route by itself, but then it'll be short in the receiver cycle. So if the play breaks, they get through. You just tap A once and then B to pass, and it's like, boom, you got 5 yards regardless. So there's a lot of that going on. So in that scenario, like, your strategy, like, turning this setup is if you call the play, you take your guy, and then you stay back. You just let the computer guys rush, and then you try to, like, block that play. That's how you kind of try to defend that.
Now, why do you think there's so much interest in this game? Why do you think obviously we know it was a great game for its time, but why do you think why do you think the nostalgia kicks in? Why do you think I talk to the average guy? Why do you think we reach out to you, you know, and there's something special that I think about, like, oh man, like, that is cool, like, to hear from this guy? Why do you think people buy in and are like, wow, like, I want to play this game? They don't forget this game. What is the driving force behind that, and why do we all love it so much?
This is probably my favorite question, and a few reasons. One, the NFL back then was awesome.
Yes.
The competitive nature of it, you know, like, how the rules were set up, and even how, like, they kind of propped up the stars. You know, like, we all remember Bo Jackson and Jordan and Joe Montana. You know, like, those guys are, like, idols in our minds. And it doesn't really have that effect on the fan these days. And I think, just, I mean, for a myriad of reasons, we won't get into all that, but the NFL was awesome back then. The game, it's super simple to play. Mm-hmm. But it's really hard to master. So, you know, like, you can sit down with anyone, even now, being grown men, like, hey, this game's fun. You sit down, and it's like a good mobile game. You know, it's quick. You understand how to play in about 5 seconds. And then it's just very arcadey. So it's fast. You score touchdowns quickly. And,
right.
And then, you know, third to that is just the nostalgia for it in itself. Even if it's not specifically Tecmo Bowl or Tecmo Super Bowl or Mario, but Nintendo, it's just kind of like this all-encompassing thing where it just kind of hits us all in the right chord to where the ones that love this game and played this game, they did what we did. You know, like we said, it's like the rule books, the record keeping, you know, oh, I was the best in my neighborhood, you know, like all that. It's like, it kind of pulls you back into, like, the fun time to where mm-hmm. it's like an escape, you know, and so that's where the turning in the draw comes from. That it's like, man, I get to go hang out with 300 dudes that are just like this, and, like, that's the best part, you know. It's like,
yeah,
tell stories, and, you know, it's just like we all have that stuff, and it just keeps going and going, and each year it gets bigger and bigger. And, you know, with live streaming now, it's interesting to see. We haven't even reached the ceiling yet, you know, like 160,000 people watched it last year, which is just mind-boggling to me. But it's just like it's become like this event now. And I think that's awesome, you know, the fact that I can provide this weekend of joy for all these people there. But now people watching it, you know, it's like
it's pretty cool that you actually have, like, your event is like the Tecmo Super Bowl. Like, people yeah. are, you know, like people yeah. are watching it like an event, like the Super Bowl. You know what I mean? Like, it's pretty interesting.
Yeah, sure. You're totally right. It's often too, just like kind of interact with, like, the people in chat, because it's really funny because it's just another extension of us, because it's the same guy going, oh, that guy sucks, you know, like, I would totally tear him up at the Bills, and, you know, back in my day, this guy Craig, he was awful, but man, I would score 90 points on him. The same exact guy on the other end. So, like, we're just like howling, laughing. It's just like, I can't believe this is like reality. You know, like, we're all a bunch of 9-year-olds. But we're
now, with the retroness of the game, have you guys come across any former players that either play or, like, talk to you about, yeah, I was that good or anything like that?
Yeah, a few from time to time. Funny story there. So last year, we ended up hooking up with the Bo Jackson Give Me a Chance Foundation. So they're one of our sponsors, and you know, that was the charity that we donated to and stuff. And the grand prize for the big raffle was a meet and greet at Bo's yearly golf tournament.
Oh, nice.
So a couple guys went on, and ended up I went out there as well with the winners, and kind of had a weekend, and I met Bo Jackson, which is like this incredible experience, you know, in itself.
That's amazing. I love it.
Ended up hooking up with Donnell Wolford, which is an old Bears defensive back.
I remember.
So meeting him at the event and kind of interacting, and he's a coach at Clemson now, so just kind of like talking about all that, and then it's kind of like connecting with him and like talking about Tecmo Bowl, and like he played a little bit, and funny enough, it ends up he like knows one of the guys that plays in our tournament, this guy Ryan Stewart. He was like, wait, Ryan's my friend. And so like I'm taking selfies with Donna Wolper and like texting him to Ryan, like, hey, you didn't tell me you like put ribs with this guy for like 2 years. He just got this funny, kind of weird, surreal story to like, I'm gonna hang out with Donna Wolfer and my buddy Neil, who flew out with me. Had a few drinks, and he just kind of walked up to Donnell and goes, hey, man, sorry to say, but Mark Carey was better in Tecmo.
Love it.
Mark Carey was like his defensive back pairing in Tecmo. So it's just really funny. He's like, yeah, I know. It's all good. He's like, you know, whatever he said. I can't even remember. But it was just like really funny. He's like, I can't believe this is happening right now. You know, we're like hanging out and talking about this. But
that's great, man. I mean, it just shows you. I don't know. I guess, like, we had a guest on before who was they're part of a band, and they're like, they're just all horns. Like, they're just a horn band. They played in the subway, and they did it from high school on. And you're a guy who you know, has this niche thing, this Madden thing, and we're a podcast that is talking to you guys and had bring on get. It's just amazing the power of like the internet and how you don't need. You don't need middlemen or anything to kind of make these things work. Like, yeah, maybe they're not, maybe they're not paying your mortgage, but you have these, you know, these events and these things, and if you just work at it, like, it's amazing how many similar people you find out there.
Yeah, no, I think you're totally right. And just kind of speaks to like when I was researching you guys. I mean, sorry, I wasn't a fan before this, but I am now.
Shocking.
Just kind of like reading through it, you know. I mean, we get podcast offers like all the time.
Right.
You know, not to disparage them or whatever, but just like, no thanks, man. Like, I appreciate it, but it's not something I'm looking to do. And I'm like reading through you guys' guest list. I'm like, who are these guys? Balboa and Riley. And it's just like, this is so funny, man. Just like, it's just awesome. Like, this is so cool. And I was actually excited to do this one. You know?
That's awesome, man.
One of the ones I've said no to, I was like, man, this is great. These are my kind of dudes, you know. Like, you're just reading through it and listening to so many of them ahead of time. I was like, man, this is awesome.
That's awesome, man. Yeah, we sit back all the time. I'm sorry. Go ahead, man.
Oh, yeah. Just for me to reach out to even some of those people, it's just like this unnerving, like you don't even want to do it because it's just an instant fear of rejection, but it's probably kind of the same thing. They're like, look at you guys, I'm like, oh, these are cool dudes, man. And, you know,
no one thinks we're cool, no one thinks we're cool, but we have a kind of like, even if we fail 90% of the time and we get the one out of the 10, it's like, hey, we got a really cool guest on. We just, we kind of constantly badger people. We're professional badgers.
There you go.
No, but we've been able to talk to so many amazing people, and it's just cool, like, reach out people all over the world, even. I mean, we're just sitting here in my rented out place here, like, sitting on a table and just able to talk to people in the United Kingdom and people on their own island in British Columbia, like just people all over the United States. And some of my idols, but the two guys from Coheed and Thrice and these bands that have shaped my childhood. Yeah. I don't know. Mm-hmm. And like, even you, like the Tecmo Super Bowl, like it's funny how all these things kind of come back full circle and whatnot. But so I guess I want to ask you before we get out of here, What's in the future for Tecmo Madison and you guys? You said you haven't even hit the plateau yet. It keeps growing. So what are the plans for it going forward?
Yeah, so this year we're moving into a bigger venue, which is always exciting. So There's a place called the Red Zone in Madison, and it's like a big, huge sports bar that everybody goes and watches the college games at. But it also has a rock and roll, like 400 cap room attached to it.
Wow.
So we're going to take over both areas this year and kind of to rock it out. And last year we had a trial with having a Friday night event. There's always like a hangout, like, hey, let's meet up and swap beer and have a good time. But last year we actually had an NBA Jam tournament.
That's my favorite game.
And,
when I had just gotten out of college and like came home to like all, you know, all my buddies, we all came back from college. There was a bar down the street from us. It was the biggest dump, but it was $2 beers and free NBA Jam. And we just that's all we did. We're like, oh, it's Friday, let's go play NBA Jam. And I was the Sonics just every single time. But that's a different story. But anyway, sorry to cut you off.
Yeah, for sure. No, that's okay. I'm actually going to pivot on that for a second. Reason being, so to take this a little deeper, every year, like 12 to 15 of us, we meet in Fargo, North Dakota, because some of the dudes live up there, and we go camping in the woods and we play techno for 2 days. It's called Burning Mort. It's a play on Burning Man.
And right, Mort, right.
Kind of the techno, you know, guy. Anyhow, but the night before, we always go to the same bar called Pounds for that exact reason, because they have super cheap beer on draft and they have free NBA Jam arcade. And it is like the ruckus, like, start, man. Like, it's just like, all right, we get to Pounds. It's like, let's go.
What town is this in? What town is this in?
Fargo, North Dakota.
Oh, jeez. I was going to say, a little far for me to.
Yeah.
You can meet Carson Wentz down there.
Yeah. Well, you guys have an open invite to fly out and play Tecmo with us next summer.
Oh,
every July.
Oh, that'd be tremendous. July?
Yeah.
July, you're in Wisconsin, or you mean in Fargo?
In Fargo.
All right. Well, we might have to take you up on that this July.
I'm still kind of tempted. I'm not pushed away by that offer.
It just goes off the deep end. We don't really have rules per se in those Tecmo games, which is funny. So, like last year, we had to wear beer helmets and you had to finish all four cans before the quarter was over.
I like how you use Tecmo as a cover up for your raging alcoholic.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, sure. It's just like a big party. We can tell our wives, hey, I'm going to play Tecmo with my friends.
There's a reason I'm drinking. I have Steve Grogan as my quarterback.
Right.
Bubby Brister.
Why did you just sleep for 4 days? You're at a Tecmo tournament.
You reek of alcohol.
Yeah. so please come. I'll send you an email about that.
Awesome. But, what's in the future? Back, so you have a bigger room.
Yeah, back to Madison. we had an NBA Jam tournament, and like we had like 200 people show up. It was insane. You know, it was like not all to play NBA Jam, but a lot just to like hang out. We had like, you know, concerts set up and all this stuff. And really, we just wanted to test our equipment because we went into like a bigger venue for us last year. It was packed to the gills, and you know, we were understaffed and like the whole thing. I was like, all right, this needs to be like a thing. So going forward, you know, Fridays are going to be like a whole other event, which is going to be fun. So we'll expand on the NBA Jam stuff this year, and we're going to bring in some Street Fighter because everybody loves Street Fighter 2 as well. So.
Oh, nice.
Hard to beat Detlef Shrimp, Peyton, and Camp. The sick trio in NBA Jam.
Yeah, absolutely, man. Yeah, and for sure. So I get my love and my Sonics out when I play people then. But it's just kind of funny. We haven't refined the rules for NBA Jam yet, so it's kind of a free-for-all to pick your team.
Yep.
And it's like literally a race to the Charlotte Hornets or the Seattle Supersonics. It's pretty much every matchup.
Yeah, stay away from the Milwaukee Bucks. Yeah. Mo Hassan Edwards.
Yeah, they're terrible. It's a funny story there. Like, everybody basically was, you know, the Hornets, the Sonics. I think there's a few Magic guys in there. And the guys that won it were the Pacers, and they ran with Reggie Miller and Rick Schmidt. And like, we kind of just laughed. It was like, what? You know, and then I came over and like left the, you know, the booth or whatever, and I started watching their semifinal game. It was 33-2 in the second quarter.
Oh,
like, I couldn't believe it.
Reggie.
But they had the strategy where they just stuck Rick Schmidt on the free throw line on either side, and he would just push the whole turn. they couldn't get to Reggie Miller, and he was just raining threes. It was the most ridiculous thing. I was like, this is – they, like, broke the game. You're like, it wasn't even fun to watch. And, like, you know, they won the finals by, like, 40 points or something.
That's
hilarious. Wow. Yeah, but it was very impressive because we all kind of laughed at him, and then it just rolled everybody.
That's awesome. So before we go, I'll tell you a quick story that you would appreciate. Every Christmas Eve, my cousin and I, now we've been doing this, it's got to be at least 15 years. We whip out the first PlayStation, and we play NFL Blitz, a best of seven, every Christmas Eve. And it gets heated, and I'm always the Steelers, and he's always the Bears. And for 1 year, we did like a Secret Santa thing, and like I was wearing a Jay Bruner jersey underneath my my Christmas sweater or whatever, and I had him in the thing, and I got him a Ennis jersey or Mike Ennis jersey, and I don't know, we were just like, oh, he's like, oh my god, because those are the two players that are like sick in Blitz for some reason, but it's that whole nostalgia thing. And every Christmas, like last year, he couldn't do it because like he had to do adult things, like have a baby and all that stuff. But so I'm hoping this year I can regain my title because I'm on a 2-year losing streak. But before we get out of here, if people want to check out Tecmo Madison or get check it out, if they can come view it or see more about it, where should they go?
Yeah, pretty much everything's on techbonemadison.com. You can kind of just connect with us there. There's a mailing list to get involved in that. And then, in addition to that, we have a Facebook page. It's facebook.com/TecmoSuperBowl. And that's where the general community hangs out there, and that's where all the live videos are. And, you know, we reenact current plays and all that stuff. So you can all check it out there. So I'd love to have anybody come hang out and buy me a beer, and let's have a good time.
That's awesome, man. Dave, thank you so much for coming on the cast for a little while, and good luck with everything you got going on. I think it's pretty awesome.
Yeah, man. Thanks, guys, for having me. It's a lot of fun. Let's do another one. We'll talk Sean Kemp stories.
Absolutely. Definitely. When you get closer to the when does the event take place? The Madison?
It's actually April 2018. So
okay. Maybe in like late March, we'll contact you and, you know, do another quick spot about it.
Cool. Yeah, that'd be awesome.
That was fun.
That was really cool.
Yeah, it was fun. It was like he sounds like a guy I would like just want to hang out with. You know what I mean? Like he could fit right in. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah, you don't need introductions or any specific conversation. Somebody will say something different, like, yeah, I ate broccoli last night, and he's a dude that's like, I got a story.
I like that was your go-to. Yeah.
It was the first thing that came in my head.
I ate broccoli last night.
Yeah.
After all the interviews we did today and all the stuff we talked about, that was the first thing that came to your head.
Yeah. I'm in the mood for broccoli. What can I tell you?
I just want to know where your head's at sometimes, like what you're actually thinking about while things are going on. Like, I feel like you're physically here, but somewhere you're thinking in some other dimension.
You wish there could be like a helmet which, you know, shows a visual diagram of what's going through my mind.
It was last week, right? We were talking about how one day we'll be able to put something on you and see your dreams.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I want that, like, on your everyday consciousness.
Oh,
like,
okay.
I feel like it's just like Dukes of Hazzard clips, and like, ooh, what time are the Redskins on? And they're like, ooh, I'm hungry. Like,
like nothing shows up for more than 5 seconds before the next subject goes through my head.
Exactly.
The teapot dome scandal, Berlew. What the hell?
But Berlew, I think it's time to get out of here.
Yeah.
It was a great episode. I really enjoyed it. Anything to promote?
I guess my page, Michael Berlew Random Stuff. I'm doing Pumpkin Spice Whatever, which I'm sharing out to the Verbal Shenanigans group. I'm also going to be doing at the end of the month my usual Tonight on the Walking Dead. Go on Facebook.com and search Michael Berlew Random Stuff.
Awesome. I just want to promote I'm going to promote Sleep Ovation, considering it's a the newest sponsor of the cast.
Welcome to
also
the team.
We have a promo code if anybody enters the words verbal. And they get $100 off the mattress. So,
Geez.
And then hopefully there'll be some videos coming out and things that we can cross promote and stuff. So I'm very excited about it. So I just want to promote that. And then on November 8th, I'm doing our first show at Paragon Tap and Table in Clark. So a similar structure to the shows I've been running. It's a free show with Mark Riccadonna, Jackie Byrne, and Mike Zaccoli and myself.
It's a great lineup. It's a great bar. And the food there is awesome. I remember when you used to do the trivia there. It was just amazing atmosphere. I highly recommend it.
Yeah, I mean, it's just it's really cool, like, just to see, like, the world's verbal shenanigans and the trivia and these things intertwining with each else and different opportunities and whatnot coming. So
it's our little community, if you will.
It is. And guys, keep subscribing, keep listening. This year, we have a ton of guests even coming up. We are booked through the middle of November with lots of fun ones. Next week is our Halloween episode. It should be a fun one. We got some interesting guests on. I'm not going to reveal that now, but we got guests booked. Of all different, we got recognizable people and then people who are just really interesting. So, again, go back and check out some of the episodes we've had. I want to thank Josh from Lucky Cops. Different band. And then Dave from Tecmo. Go check out Lucky Chops and go. So I think we should play each other in Tecmo for something to promote this episode.
Definitely do it.
I don't know what. Yeah, well, like the stipulation is, but like maybe someone who loses has to do something on the next cast or something like that.
I'm down.
All right, so maybe we'll figure out how to play, considering we both don't have a Nintendo.
Yeah.
We have to do it online or something.
You should do it from the same place we did SS Humiliation, because that gave me an advantage.
Yes. We will bring that game back. That game will come back on a fair. I'm getting the actual battleship and putting it. We're going analog, not digital battleship.
Screw technology.
You know. So tune in next week to our Halloween episode. It's a lot of fun. And I'll tell you all about a red goblin who's trying to steal comedy shows from me. But anyway, that's a side thing. But life is funny. Laugh at it. Keep the wind at your back. Bye-bye.
Later, people.